The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Mark chapter 8, as the musicians play softly, Mark chapter 8. Again, to all of our guests and to all of our visitors, God bless you and may God keep you as our hope, and it is our prayer. Hope that something has already been said or done in this place to encourage you, to lift up your spirit, to let you know that this is truly none other than the house of God. We want to be reflections of the kingdom of heaven. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. I'll be reading this morning from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him, talking about Jesus, to touch him, talking about the man at Bethsaida. So he, Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he, talking about the blind man, he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he, Jesus, put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. See, I could stop right there, because see, there's too many folks still looking down. And I'm talking more than just that you're reading your Bible. There's just some folk that won't look up. He said he made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. My God. But verse 26 says, then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. I'm going to fix this thing in a minute. I know what time it is, but y'all going to have to bear with me. This morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to come simply to talk about a second touch. A second touch. You all may be seated in the presence of our God. We're talking about a second touch. As I have prayed over these past weeks and being led of the Holy Spirit to this passage of Scripture, I could not help but think about how many people, not necessarily in just in this church, but I'm talking about the church universal, who might be saying, you know, we don't say it out loud, but it's sometimes in our demeanor. It's in our countenance. Who say, you know, I've been involved in church all my life, but I really haven't had much experience with God. Maybe there's someone who's saying, well, you know, I once had an experience with God, but I don't feel God anymore. I mean, I come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I'm even involved in committees. I might be on the usher board. I'm a deacon. I'm a minister of the gospel. I might teach Sunday school. I'm involved in outreach ministries, etc. But I just doesn't seem like I see the same anymore. In other words, they're saying I don't feel God very often. And I text this morning, my brothers and my sisters, we find some help for those who maybe have lost their focus. Lord, help me to preach on today. For the Holy Spirit is having me speak to the heart, the mind, and the spirit of someone. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't even know where you are in your mind or your spirit right now. But I need you to know I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you this morning because you have gotten to the point in your spiritual walk where you have begun to lose focus. Similar to where how Paul describes it over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, where it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I know even as also I am known. Now that sounds good in prose in King James, the New King James Version. Let me read that in a New Living Translation. It says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely. Watch this, just as God now knows me completely. See, that's an important scripture to hear that way, because while we may not want everybody to know everything about us, God knows everything completely. Amen. See, God is not fooled by all this stuff. God is not fooled by formalities. He knows everything completely. Here in our text in the book of Mark, chapter 8, 22 through 26. First of all, I need you to understand that it's Mark and Mark alone who records this miracle of this blind man from Bethsaida. Now, we're not told that this blind man believed anything. Matter of fact, we don't even know, we can't even necessarily infer that he expected anything. As a matter of fact, he seems to have only come to the place, watch the text, where the master was simply because his friends persuaded him to do so. As a matter of fact, the text says in verse 22, it says they, talking about his friends, brought the blind man to Jesus. Now, if I can't say anything else, Lampkin, I can say this. What a blessed man this man was to have those kind of friends. Amen. Amen. I don't know what kind of friends you got, but you better have some friends who know Jesus to get you to Jesus. Amen. He didn't know Jesus, but his friends did. He might not have even believed in Jesus, but his friends did. He might not have ever come to Jesus, but his friends brought him. I'm talking to somebody who wants to cut off a family member, who wants to cut off a coworker, who wants to cut off a friend, but it just might be that the only way they're going to even understand who Jesus is by and through you. Amen. 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 But here it is, Sister McFarland. They didn't just bring him to Jesus, or like we sometimes do, we want to invite and bring folk to church. But that didn't all they did. They got him to Jesus, and the text says, I'm walking through the text, it says they begged Jesus to touch him. God Almighty, I don't know about you, but when I bring folk to church, wait a minute, even if they don't want to come, watch this, when I bring myself to church, I don't want to just come to church. I want to come to church and be touched by the master. Amen. It might be through a song. It might be through a prayer. It might be through a handshake or a smile. But as good as it is to see you and maybe you to see me, I'm trying to see Jesus. And I need a touch from the Lord. And the thing is, we see in this text that Jesus did touch the blind man. Ah, but Sister Graham, the text says he touched him, but he had to touch him again. Now I'm going to fix it in a minute. But hear me when I say this, because I believe, and I know we record, and I know some of y'all probably got your cell phones on the down low, going live from First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Now, I didn't get loose last week. I had to shake that. I had to test that thing last week, but I'm good. But I believe the church today, I'm talking about the universal church, and when I'm talking about the universal church, that includes us. But I believe the church is like this blind man. And what I mean is that is that we stand desperately in need of a second touch. What are you saying, Pastor King? I'm saying it's necessary that we get a second touch, because until we receive the second touch, we will remain out of touch. I don't know if you feel like it, but it feels like to me that the church is getting out of touch with what the mission is of the church is supposed to be. Amen. And until we get a second touch, the church universal will be out of touch, will be out of focus, and will remain confused. Sometimes you don't know if you're walking into a church or a club sometimes. Amen. Just don't know. And it has nothing to do with how we dress. It has nothing to do with how we walk and talk sanctimonious. I'm just talking about sometimes you can't tell the difference. Because everything is all inclusive. But no, we're going to fix it. Because you see, with the second touch, here's the other big deal. See, we talking about styles. I'm saying we need a second touch because the church universal needs to move from symbolism to substance. We need to move from pride to power. We need to move from independence to cooperation. This is the only miracle recorded in the New Testament, again, where Jesus was required to touch his subject more than once to bring about sufficient change. I mean, come on now. We know there were some miracles that he didn't even have to touch at all. As a matter of fact, there were some miracles he didn't even have to be there. But yet he was not only there, he had to touch him twice. And so, Brown, you got to ask yourself, we can't just read the Bible. This ain't just little Bible stories. We grown up now. We grown. Can I ask yourself, why does this man need to be touched twice? So before we get to that, I need you to think about this for a second. I had to think about this. First of all, watch this. See, we rush to the touch. We want to wrestle with why did he have to be touched twice? And so we get stuck there. But we sped past something. I want to show you something here. Here's something that came to me even before the second touch. First of all, before Jesus healed the man, in verse 23, the text says that he had to take him outside of the town. I'm about to teach this thing. He had to take him outside of the town. I hope you got your Bible open. He had to take him outside of the town or the village. In other words, he had to take him out of Bethsaida. Jesus. But not only that, after he healed the man, in verse 26, after he took him out, then he said, he healed him. And then he said, I don't want you to return to that town or that village, or in other words, don't return to Bethsaida. Why is that significant? Why is that significant? Huh? What's that all about? Why heal the man outside Bethsaida and then tell him not to go back there? Well, because Bethsaida didn't have a very good reputation with Jesus. Didn't have a good reputation with Jesus. And here I'm telling y'all stuff and y'all hanging on every word. Well, so some of y'all should be saying, how do you know? I would. If I was where y'all was sitting, that's good, but how do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Matthew 11, verse 21, Jesus cries out, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. I'm in the Word of God. So, Sister Stephanie, what does that tell me? Well, what it tells me, he says, woe to Bethsaida. So you got to ask, what in the world was wrong with Bethsaida? Well, minimally, you can say they were told apparently they need to repent of some stuff. Amen. Need to repent of some stuff, and they weren't doing it. And so when Jesus did miracles in their town, hear me today, Bill, when Jesus did miracles in the town of Bethsaida, Bethsaida wasn't impressed. Good God, oh my. In other words, care how hard you yell, how hard you scream, don't care how loud the music get. Listen, whatever they saw didn't change their hearts. So now we find Jesus taking a blind man out of Bethsaida to heal him, and he tells him, don't you go back there. So what does it have to do with you and I? Well, think about it. If this man was going to be healed by Jesus, he needed to be taken out of Bethsaida. But not only did he need to be taken out, he needed to stay out. So how does that fit me and you? See, Bethsaida was simply not a good place to be healed because it wasn't a place of faith. If you want to grow, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you want to grow in your faith, there are going to be some places you shouldn't go. If you want to grow in your faith, not only going to be some places that you shouldn't go, if you want Jesus to do something powerful in your life, there are going to be some places you shouldn't be. Amen. But here it is. But while that's a physical place, the concept here is that while there's some actual places that you shouldn't go and you shouldn't be, I need to bring us all in because I know some sanctimonious folks say, I don't go to them places. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he about to bring all us in now. Because while there are some actual places that you shouldn't go and you shouldn't be, this is also mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, etc., some places where God says, I got to bring you out. And when I heal you, I need you not to go back. So in other words, if you, whoever you are, you know who you are, want to grow in your faith, there's some certain places that you shouldn't go mentally, emotionally. Y'all there now, y'all ain't paying attention. Shouldn't go mentally, emotionally, relationally. That's why y'all saying, what did he say last time? Relationally, financially, spiritually, etc., that you ought not go. If you want Jesus to do something powerful in your life, they're going to have to be some places you shouldn't be mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually. But it also just might be like what happens here in our text, Sister Cynthia, that Jesus will have to lead, remove, or even take you, oh, Jesus, out of some places, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually. He might have to, like in the text, take you from those places for you to get your healing. Because unfortunately, we won't go on our own. It's comfortable there. Feels good. It's what we know. But he said, no. Thank God he loves us too much. Come on, somebody. To leave us in those states and conditions. And he says, no, I need you to get you to a point of being able to say, that was the end. Quote Jesus. And this is now. He's saying, I need you to have a different perspective. Be able to say, that was the end. And this is now, but every now and then that's going to require, Sister Fitzgerald, a second touch. See, the problem for the blind man and the story is that he had been in Bethsaida, watch this, too long. He had been around the citizens of that town way too long, and he had been allowed to allow himself to be influenced by the lack of faith, the lack of morality. So in order to do anything in this man's life, Jesus had to get him out and keep him out. Don't raise your hand. Don't look to your neighbor. But what's that place? What's your Bethsaida? That God said, no, 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 no. You got to come out of there. You're saying you want to get better, do better, be better, but you want to do that in the same place that you are in. I need to get you out, and I'm going to heal you, but I need you not to go back to that place. Let me repeat, if you want Jesus to do anything powerful in your life, there might be certain places, certain people, watch this, certain mindsets that you're going to need to get away from. Amen. And because he loves us so much, and he knows you, and he knows me, and he knows us better than we know ourselves, he just might have to himself take us away, just like he did the blind man. But let's get to the meat of the text. However, because it says in verse 23, it says, so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked up and said, he said, I see men like trees walking. Now go back to the point that I made about the church. I said the church needs a second touch because I said that every now and then the church has lost its focus. We got glitz and we got glitter. We got sermons and we got songs, but folk aren't getting saved. We got bigger church stars than we got worshiping them, than we got them worshiping Jesus. We got folk that want to get paid to come and even participate, and Jesus was a carpenter, and all he did was roll up his sleeves and go to work. You see, here's the problem we have with too much of us in the church is there are a lot of people who still see like this today. We learn a few scriptures and we run on, but people still ought to look like people. You can't get saved and everybody else crazy. You can't be saved and everybody else is you good now and they bad. People ought to still look like people. Things ought to still look like things. You can put a sinner in a dress or a suit and they still a sinner. I mean, you know, we got too many folk comfortable in the church. They done got dressed up and comfortable. No. Put them in a suit and a dress, they still a sinner if they haven't been saved. Amen. You can put a reprobate in a mansion. Come on, somebody. And they still a reprobate. Put somebody foolish in a new car and a new house and they still foolish. But aren't you glad? Come on, somebody. That God is not a respecter of persons, that he does not care if you got a PhD, a DD, or no doggone good. Come on, somebody. The Lord loves everybody. Amen. And we all need a savior. We all need to be delivered. We all need to be set free. We all need to be led. We all need to be rescued. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't mean no harm, neighbor. Tell him, say, I don't mean no harm. But it didn't take any more grace to wake you up than it did me. Amen. Amen. We were all made in his image. We're all precious in his sight. We are all blessed by his goodness, and we are all sinners who have been saved by grace. Give God a hand clap of praise up in this house. So you got to ask. We know that. We know better, so we should be doing better. So why are we so confused today about how we walk, about how we talk, act, and behave, even after we've been touched. Jesus. Huh? Because it just might be that we need a second touch. I know you in church, but I gotta ask you, can you see? And not only that, I need to ask, what do you see? Because unfortunately, too often, folk only see the negative, the bad, or the not right. Been in church, but can you see? In verse 25 says, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. The Bible says, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Heard somebody say this. You see, the first touch gives sight. The second touch gives clarity. Jesus. The first touch gives sight. The second touch gives clarity. The first touch gives life, but the second touch gives meaning to the life that we're supposed to live. The first touch gives hearing, but the second touch gives understanding. The Bible clearly says in the book of Proverbs, somewhere in there, it says, listen, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. So while the first touch says that now we can love God and receive the love of God, we still got some folk who have yet to reach the second level. So you need a second touch. So now you can love God and love your neighbors. The first touch says, I can get in church. Good start. The second touch says, now be in Christ. First touch says, Lord, help me. The second touch says, Lord, use me. The first touch, you can pray for friends and family. The second touch allows you to pray even for your enemies. First touch says, thank you, God, for my blessings. But the second touch says, thank you, God, for my trials and tribulations. First touch says, you still think you too cool to clap your hands and pat your feet. The second touch says you feel the fire burning deep down in your soul. The first touch says you can shout in church, but the second touch said I can shout on my way to church. Come on, somebody. The first touch says, Lord, give me a blessing. But the second touch said, Lord, make me a blessing. First touch says, Lord, I love to read your word. But the second touch said, Lord, I love to live by your word. First touch says, Lord, forgive me. But the second touch said, Lord, I can live now forgiven in the joy of the belly of my soul. So I get ready to close. Now that we have the background, ask yourself this question. Be honest. But do you need a second touch? Personal, so you just need to write it and take it to the Lord in prayer. Do I need a second touch? See, our first touch reminds us of salvation. When we receive Christ, we open up our eyes. But too many in the church remain content in that aspect. So all they got is fire insurance. You got to get out of hell free card. You got a visitor says, oh my God. Oh, y'all do me a favor. This is about a third from the back row. Y'all circle them and say, pray for him. Too many folk just got fire insurance. Okay? But not enough people are actually sold out for Christ. I was thinking about little baby Soraya, just a newborn baby. For any of us have experienced that, you think about a newborn baby. When they first open their eyes are open, but they can't focus very far. They can't. The vision is even blurred at first. And when we receive Jesus, we are all babes in Christ. Amen. And when this blind man received his first touch, he said he saw men walking like trees. He could see, but not very clearly. And that's why we got to be careful that as soon as you get saved, you want to run to a ministry. No, you just got saved. You can see, and you know you've been saved, but now you need to ask God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you need me to do? Eyes are open, but we don't see very clearly. So I'm asking again, do you need a second touch? And the reason I can ask that, and I put myself in it, you best believe I've been touched again. Because even your pastor has had to get to a point of clarity. See, sometimes we can come in with too many preconceived notions. Just because we pray real hard or feel real sincere in our will, God still says, you still need to submit because it's not your will, but my will be done. And let me tell you how that's even possible from the pulpit to the door, how it's possible because it's still in your text. I hope you didn't close your Bible because I'm closing right now. It's in verse 21 of the same text. Go ahead, musicians. The disciples walked with Jesus. They walked with him. And they followed him. And yet he says in verse 21, here it is. This came to me even before I got to the text I just preached. He says, how is it that you don't understand? You've been walking with me. You've been watching me. We've been conversating. How is it that you still don't understand? Whether you want to admit it or not, more often than not, we need a second touch. It's one thing to make Jesus your Savior. But some folks still have yet to make Jesus Lord. It's one thing to surrender, but it's a whole nother one to allow Jesus to have complete control of your life. I thank and I praise God that even I had to get to a point of needing a second touch. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open as we stand to our feet. Amen. Now recognize that this is probably one of the most important points of our service because this is the decision time. It's decision time.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.